today on a classic Compassion Radio.
When one thumbprint becomes three, becomes 14, becomes 100, it goes from individual overcoming to the overcoming of the world. That's why the name 1 million thumbprints.
We bring our stories together. There's a lot of strength in that.
Yes.
We bring our stories to each other.
Yeah.
We strengthen each other.
Yeah.
And the evil is overcome with good.
That's right.
Because of what we share with each other. The shame is discarded.
And welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On the program today, we're going to speak with Belinda Bauman. She's a wife, a mom, speaker and writer, and a teacher and advocate whose mission is to bring hope to women in crisis. Now today, Belinda and Bram's wife, Sandy, are going to talk about Belinda's vision of a world where women are free from the fear of violence, oppression, and poverty caused by war. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part two of this conversation.
We're back again today with Belinda Bauman here on Compassion Radio. Welcome back, Belinda, my dear friend.
What a joy.
We're going to continue talking about 1 million thumbprints. And one of the things that you mentioned yesterday about the thumbprint you received from Esperance, just the email that came in with her thumbprint said, tell my story. The whole thought of our permission, our DNA being passed on, being given, that's our identity. We find as Christians our identity in the blood of Christ. And and one of the tie-ins that has been rolling around and in thinking through your story is how Esperance gave you permission with her identity to tell her story so that others would not have to go through this kind of evil, so that it would pass over them. It ties in so well to what Christ did for us. And even in the Old Testament, the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, painting the blood over their doorposts, making the mark so that they were passed over with the angel of death. How do we tie that in with what you're doing with 1 million thumbprints?
One of the epiphanies that have happened for me, just even in the last 12 months, has been this idea that when we tell our story, there's always a story hearer. There's always somebody that hears the story as well. Depending on how the story is being received, it can be bearing witness. I think when God himself asked the Israelites to make the mark of blood over their doorpost, there was a story in that household. There was an identity in that household that was his people. They were his family. They were the ones whose story he was protecting. Esperance chose to bear witness, not only through telling her own story, but listening to and taking in the stories of all the sisters in her area that suffered as she did. She is currently a trauma counselor.
I love that.
Just like Mama Odile is. And they work together regularly. If we were to look at the mark that was made so that evil passed by the ones whose story God was protecting, could it be that in bearing witness the way Esperance did to the suffering of others, to the suffering stories of others, no matter how uncomfortable they are, no matter how non-linear they are, no matter how disjointed they may be at the time they come to us, could that be a way for evil to pass by, not only the person whose story is being told, but our own lives? You remember yesterday I had said that it wasn't my first rodeo, that meeting Esperance found me in actually the middle of ministry.
Right.
I was meant to be the model Christian by then, right?
Time would have told, for sure.
Yeah, as well as an ordination and lots of other things, right? There's lots of paper and ceremony and things that should have made me one of the most empathetic, loving, compassionate individuals to the people that I was ministering to. But instead, I found myself numb.
Compassion burnout.
Yes. Oh, yes. I was numb and I was very high-functioning apathetic. I hear it all the time. They're like, that can't possibly be your story. That wasn't you. But we know how dark our minds and our hearts can be. When Esperance, I felt life flood into me, and almost like the evil that I was dabbling with in the form of going dark, going cold, or let's say going lukewarm. If apathy is, you know, going lukewarm, that I had been passed over. The evil was passing me over through bearing witness to the suffering of someone else.
I think that's one of the things that I so appreciated about our time together in Lebanon when we sat with the gals that we went to visit in the Baka'a Valley. Just hearing their stories, hearing what they had gone through to get to this safer place, perhaps, I felt like it was a sacred space that we were in, that in some ways, we really didn't have a right to be there because we had not walked where they walked. At the same time, I felt an urgency about what we heard and about what we experienced that undid me in a lot of ways. I felt like it would be wrong not to share what we had experienced. And I've had conversation after conversation about what we saw in Lebanon. And it's exciting on the one hand to share these stories and to say there is a real movement of the Holy Spirit in that place that we saw. And yet it's like teetering on the edge of hopelessness. So there's a real dichotomy there. It's a real uneasiness. What's next? What's happening? Is God in this? Is God ignoring this?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Yep.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that and hearing that, like you said, to bear witness. I love that term because we can do that on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
With those that we sit in coffee with and those that we go to church with, those that teach our children. We can bear witness to their stories just by being with them.
Yeah.
I want to emphasize that we went and were with them and we were changed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I felt compelled after Esperance sent me her thumbprint to actually put my own thumbprint right next to hers.
Perfect. So
I carry around an electronic image of Esperance's thumbprint. It's dual purpose for me. It's a very easy way to enter a conversation with people because they're like, oh, you carry it around with you. I'm like, no, really, this is very precious to me.
Absolutely, it is.
But it also is her brave that she expressed at that moment. Her own willingness to tell her story also required my brave to bear witness to it.
Right. It's hard to hear those stories.
Oh, it's so hard, but it's equally hard when your neighbor knocks on your back door and needs someone to talk about the fact that her husband just asked her for a divorce. Human suffering is never comfortable.
Right.
If we look at what the word witness really means in the scriptures, in most cases, the root meaning of it is martyr. And so if we choose to bear witness, then I would like to say, let's bear witness the way Christ did. He didn't just put our shoes on his feet and walk around. We like to think, oh, he became a Hebrew and became a baby. And the Christmas narrative always, always, always leads to Lent, doesn't it?
Yes.
Always. As Advent unfolds into Lent, we have to deal with the discomfort of the fact that Jesus not only put on our shoes, became a culture, but he put on our skin. He embodied our experience.
Right.
And so putting my thumbprint next to Esperance's was my way of reminding myself that she lives in a body in very uncomfortable, painful situations. And I live in a body that can lean into her discomfort, that can feel her pain. And then I go find my really crazy friends like you that I know have brave souls and ask you to put your thumbprint next to hers, next to mine. And you wear your body into hard situations and do hard things for the sake of bearing witness better.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build kingdom around the world. This year, we had the great privilege of celebrating our 78th anniversary in broadcast ministry. It's hard to believe that we've been on the air for almost 80 years. And in that time, of course, we've seen tremendous changes in the world. For most of that time, 74 years in fact, this ministry was in the steady hands of two solid men of God, both amazing Bible teachers, visionaries, and committed to seeing a redemptive worldview truly transform the world. Both Wilbur and Norm Nelson stretched their faith and the faith of their listening partners by urging them to not just listen, but to act on their faith. They inspired people just like you to take seriously God's call to build His kingdom around the world and to do it in ways proven to make a lasting difference. When no one else would go after the Korean War, Wilbur and Norm built orphanages and schools in Korea and Hong Kong, making it possible for generations of kids to experience the true gospel and, over time, transform their countries. Later, Norm and Cher set off on some great adventures to see how far the gospel could really go, bringing Bibles to the underground church in China and Vietnam. They brought food and medical supplies into North Korea during one of their worst famines. They brought Christmas to school children in Afghanistan after the first Taliban defeat. They visited refugee camps in dozens of countries and helped supply the amazing Christians, keeping bodies and hope alive. And in the process, living out the true religion that James talks about in his epistle. Friends, today we remain true to that vision, even at a time when COVID has shut down so many avenues we would normally use to gather stories and supply our kingdom family. We are prayerfully pursuing new opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It means some amazing new partnerships and projects, which we're working on right now. In the months to come, we'll tell you all about the new chapter that God's opening for us, and I very much look forward to sharing it. In the meantime, I'm going to ask you to earnestly and prayerfully consider what you can do right now to keep Compassion Radio viable and equipped to seize these new opportunities and to face the new challenges they present. So many ministries right now are holding back, waiting to see what the world will do, how the economy will respond, and how God will move. Though I understand the reasoning, I simply cannot believe that God would have us sit back and wait out the storm before acting in faith. Our God is a God in the storm, and the world needs us now. As Compassion Radio, we're building out the plan as fast as we prudently can, and we're trusting that God will provide for the operational needs of this ministry through you as we do it. As Wilbur Nelson put it decades ago, when there's a need, seek God and tell His people. We're doing both. If you've never supported this ministry before, I'm asking you to do what you can today to make sure that we can get through 2021 with you and on to the kingdom things He has for us in the days to come. If you have supported us in the past, please hear me when I say you are deeply appreciated and honored in our prayers each and every day. Thank you for what you have done and what you will do to keep Compassion Radio on the air and in the arena. Please, don't hesitate to give us a call or drop us a line today. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478. Our website is also available 24/7 to make your gift online. It's also the best way to catch up on any episodes you've missed. You can even share programs with your friends and family. To send your gift by mail, you can use the following address: Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you for your partnership with Compassion Radio. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
If we choose to bear witness, then I would like to say, let's bear witness the way Christ did. He didn't just put our shoes on his feet and walk around. We like to think, oh, he became a Hebrew and became a baby. And the Christmas narrative always, always, always leads to Lent, doesn't it?
Yes.
Always. As Advent unfolds into Lent, we have to deal with the discomfort of the fact that Jesus not only put on our shoes, became a culture, but he put on our skin. He embodied our experience.
Right.
And so putting my thumbprint next to Esperanza's was my way of reminding myself that she lives in a body in very uncomfortable, painful situations. Mm-hmm. And I live in a body that can lean into her discomfort, that can feel her pain. Mm-hmm. And then I go find my really crazy friends like you that I know have brave souls and ask you to put your thumbprint next to hers, next to mine. And you wear your body into hard situations and do hard things for the sake of bearing witness better.
One of the things that I love that you say often, we heard it a lot in Lebanon.
Indoctrinated.
Was to lean in to that pain, lean into their suffering. And honestly, I have to say, I thought, what is she talking about? Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? When we climbed to the mountain, then I figured out what that meant a little more.
I got Sandy Floria up a mountain along with her two lovely daughters.
Yes, that's a whole nother conversation.
It is.
But leaning into that, because it was hard to do. I mean, the ground that we were walking on was uneven and messy and all of that. And I just kept thinking how it was such a picture of what we were experiencing in the camp or what life is about. It's messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to navigate. Yeah. And you walk forward two steps, and because you're going straight up almost, you slip back and the rocks. And I mean, it was a messy situation. And leaning into that and thinking about what those women were walking through on a daily basis.
Yep.
It wasn't hard to lean in. It wasn't hard to consider their suffering as part of me.
Yeah.
To bear it alongside of them. Now, I will never understand what it feels like, really feels like, to be where they are and to sit where they sit. But just that little moment of walking through, allowing myself to really consider their suffering has borne a lot of fruit in me, I think. It's grown me. It's stretched me. And that's good.
When I look at you and think about your story, my story, and even the story of the women that climbed that mountain with us in the Beka Valley, I think of the word overcome. We all are overcoming something. We all need to tap into those moments where we were reminded of how brave we were. And then I think what Esperance taught me more than anything is that thumbprint that she laid down, her identity, though it was 100% hers and completely individual, I have one too. So not only is it individual, but when you put your thumbprint next to mine, next to Esperance's, next to Ruth's, next to Inge's, we now become something more than just ourselves. We become not just an individual witness or overcomer, but we become a community of overcomers. We become a community of people that bear witness. And that was where Jesus said the healing of the world was. The darkness would try to prevail against us, and it would not overcome us. Why? Because we were actively overcoming. So why not put ourselves in really uncomfortable, and I'll suggest you can cut this if you want, maybe even dangerous places for the sake of bearing witness to the stories of others where God is present or where he may not be present yet, but will be. I want to be there. I want to be bearing witness even to that story so that when he does come, because I know he'll come, I can say, I saw that. I bear witness to it. When one thumbprint becomes three, becomes 14, becomes 100, it goes from individual overcoming to the overcoming of the world. That's why the name, 1 Million Thumbprints.
When we bring our stories together, there's a lot of strength in that.
Yes.
We bring our stories to each other.
Yeah.
We strengthen each other.
Yeah.
And the evil is overcome with good.
That's right.
Because of what we share with each other. The shame is discarded.
Yep.
Because we have each other, yep, and we have brought it to light, the,
yep,
truth.
That's right.
And it gives us a strength that we didn't have in our silence.
Yeah, that's right. And might I suggest that it's a unique ministry of the sisters, that there's a warmth and a upflow between women that is strong.
Mm, absolutely.
And brave-making. Mm. You made me braver on that trip. And I made you more brave.
Absolutely.
And together, we knew we had met the women in the refugee camps, in the IDP camps, in the very, very difficult, compromised situations that they were in. And we would look at each other and say, we bore witness to their stories. Mm-hmm. They are living this discomfort. We can do this. And their thumbprints and our thumbprints and Esperanza's thumbprints and Odile's thumbprint, and hopefully one day 1 million of them will exist as a witness to the brave souls that brought the light of Christ to the world.
I love this lady.
It's a big deal, isn't it? It just feels so good to be able to say that I was saved, she was saved, we are actively saving each other because we are the witness.
Right.
And it means so much to me because other folk, the sense of empathy isn't quite as overt. For me, empathy is the number one evangelism tool we have right now. When we can't talk, this is what we do.
We're going to come back to this because I think there's so much more for us to talk about. Thank you, Belinda, for this time.
Pleasure.
And we look forward to
Amen.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.